Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Welcome back to episode 2 of our new Merry and Bright series that leads up to Christmas. A big thanks to all our Calvary Advent families who've been lighting a new candle each and every week and just proclaiming the truth of God's word at this time of the year. Today we lit our second Advent candle, the candle of peace, as we look at our message which focuses on a peace delivered. All of our Calvary Advent families have been doing such a great job so far and really letting their light shine in the darkness. Now, for those of you that are maybe unfamiliar with the word Advent, maybe it seems like kind of a religious term. It simply means coming or arrival. So the advent of something means that it's finally here after waiting for a very long period of time. So you might be waiting for the advent of a new phone, or maybe the advent of your new special edition Air Jordan Chicago Ones, that you've been finally waiting for those sneakers to arrive, and then it's come. You know, the Old Testament, it records a much longer period of time of waiting as God's people waited on God's promise for the first advent or coming of Christ, which now we celebrate as Christmas each and every year. But now on this side of it all, we look forward with even greater anticipation to his second coming, the advent of the King's return, which is going to be amazing. And many of us are waiting these days for the advent of the permanent return of the church to on-site gatherings. I know I am. I miss you so much, each and every one of you. So, as we continue to meet exclusively online, welcome today to Calvary Church from wherever you may be joining us. I want to encourage you this week to watch calvary.ca, our website, very closely as we update the coming news. We're not sure what it's going to be yet. We'll find out tomorrow. Very important announcement with BC Health that will kind of determine what we'll be doing over the Christmas season. So stay tuned for that. We're still believing for the best, and we're also prepared, regardless of which way it goes, for whatever comes next. And you know what? Despite all the bad news that sometimes we've been hearing, I have some extremely good news for you. The church is incredibly essential and has never been stronger in our city. So, with that in mind and to that end, we're moving ahead with our plans for Christmas, with all the things that we want to put in place for our Calvary family. We're very excited about our upcoming on-site and online Merry and Bright Christmas candlelight celebrations on Christmas Eve at 3 p.m., at 4:30, and also at 6 p.m. Now, the registration for our on-site gathering opened last Sunday, and I'm told we're already up over halfway full. I told you that those tickets would go quickly. And so jump online today. Don't skip a beat. Invite a friend and secure your spot before those seats completely book up. And for those of you that will be coming out on Christmas Eve on-site, we'll have live music, live preach. It's going to be a great night. There'll be something for the kids. There'll be snow. It's going to be a great time as we gather together. And obviously, if anything changes with the BC Health order, as you watch it as closely as we're watching, we'll keep you up to date. If our plans need to change, we'll let you know. But as always, for those of you that are gathering with us as a church from home, we will always be meeting online, and we're constantly improving how we do that. And so I know that you've been blessed to this point, but we'll keep you posted. Now, if you're here for the first time today, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us. Put it in the chat. Let us know if you're here today visiting. Our service hosts would love to connect with you. And if you're joining us maybe from outside of the province, put that in the chat too. Let us know where you're joining us from today. Okay, now, listen, one of my most favorite traditions, hands down, here at Calvary is coming up. It's our candlelight Christmas Eve service. It's that time when usually our building is packed to capacity. And as the service draws to a close, we lower the lights, we light our candles, and we sing a Christmas carol together. Now, we all know that there are plenty of carols out there to choose from, and some are better than others. Some of the carols that we sing, I don't even know that we entirely understand what we're saying. Some of the words that we sing, some of the lyrics that were written, we're not entirely sure what it is we're singing about. I mean, what is a round yon virgin anyways? Like, do we even know? What is a yon? I have no idea, yet we sing it every year. Or how about, do you hear what I hear? Now, it's never good when you're starting to hear voices, but in this case, we see that a little lamb is speaking to a shepherd boy, talking to a shepherd boy. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem completely healthy. It might mean some counseling and some therapy in the days to come. Maybe the shepherd is spending a little too much time in isolation out in the field. Maybe some of you can relate to it. Maybe you're spending a little too much quality time talking to your cat. So maybe you'll like that song. But what about this one? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Now, do we think that's what the kid needs, silver and gold? What about a blanket? What about a hot bowl of soup? Like, it doesn't seem like the fitting thing to bring him. So clearly not all Christmas carols are created equal. But on Christmas Eve, we sing a song that to us has everything to do with what peace is all about. We sing Silent Night. And Silent Night represents for many of us a condition of the heart that regardless of what's going on around us, that we feel that peace. And even in a world filled with turmoil, when peace comes, so does a sense of stability. Peace is not just what happens around you, it's what happens in you. Peace is not something, it's someone. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born," or "a child is delivered. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You see, when peace was delivered, so was the assurance in Christ that everything would be okay. You know, back in March, when everything was happening so quickly, I found myself, even in my own life, contending for my peace, fighting for it, actually, to try to hold on to it. And if I was really honest, some days I was feeling like I was losing that battle. It wasn't pretty. My Apple Watch was telling me to breathe, and so was the Holy Spirit. And I found myself trying to concentrate sometimes on doing just that. In and out, just breathe. In and out, just breathe. It was going to be okay. And suddenly I was taken back in time, and I remembered when Susan and I, as we prepared for the birth of our first son, were in a class learning how to breathe so that when the delivery came, that I could coach her and help pace her through that time. Now, in fact, when the day did finally come, I found myself at the top of her bed holding her hand very tightly, really holding on for dear life, just trying to get her through the moment, get her to continue breathing. But it was just as much for me as it was for her. Just breathe. Contending once again for my peace. Now, interestingly enough, the song Silent Night is not entirely accurate. All is calm, all is bright. I think it was actually more of a declaration of faith than it was an assessment of the reality of the situation. That night was actually anything but silent and peaceful. What was happening in that moment would likely not have been described by those that were there as calm. As a matter of fact, it was really a night filled with tension and uncertainty. Now, many people don't realize the details that surround the narrative of the story, but what was happening in that day was not necessarily indicative of a silent night. Here's a couple about to have a baby, and they couldn't find anywhere to stay, which was extremely stressful, not good at all. Given the circumstances, I don't think my wife, being 9 months pregnant, would like to go on a ride on a donkey. I don't think she'd like to go on a ride on a donkey if she wasn't pregnant. So this was a tense situation. Now, scholars will tell us, those that know the history of the day, that Mary was likely between the age of 13 and 17 years of age. She was part of a prearranged marriage to someone that she probably didn't even know that well, who they say was likely twice her age. And so all of that, all of those details create tension. Now add to the anxiety of the moment that they weren't even married and she was pregnant. Now, given those circumstances in that day, in that culture, Mary would have to be hidden away because of the scandal of what this situation would look like. Even with her best explanations, she'd be saying, the Holy Spirit did this to me. And people would be looking, saying, sure, sure he did. What would you think if she said that to you? Would you believe her? Not many of us would if we were entirely honest. Because in that moment, to get your head around what was taking place, you can imagine that what they were experiencing seemed like the opposite of a silent night. You know, there's a lot about this story that sounds more like chaos than calm. Why? Because I believe God has a reason for doing everything that he does. He has a reason for the timing of how he walks these things out. So in this moment, I believe the Father wanted to send his Son, the one who could relate to mankind in the worst possible scenario, so that mankind could also relate to him, so that he could be the one that you and I run to in the midst of crazy times, the one that we could find help from, the one that could relate to what it's like to navigate a difficult situation. And because his life started with struggle and great challenge and even continued as he grew into his adult years, he paid that price. He experienced those things so that he could be the Prince of our peace. Now, on this side of the nativity story, we see peace because we know the promise that was delivered that night. We know what it was all about. But for the characters in this narrative, it was God actively guiding them through the crisis, through the chaos, and through the turmoil. You know, they kept breathing like I was trying to get myself to do. They kept believing, they kept trusting, kept moving forward one step, one day at a time. And just as God did it then, he will do it now for you. One step at a time, walking you through the crisis, walking you through the chaos and the turmoil to the peace that's on the other side of it all. And someday, you will sit and tell generations to come of this time in history, of God's faithfulness, of the peace that was delivered to you in the most uncertain of times, and how that peace guided and saw you through. A year that was meant for many of our destruction, God has ordained for your growth. You know, I want you to see. I want you to see with the eyes of faith on the other side of what you're facing. Because on the other side is the promised peace of what's still to come. I promise you that if you abide in him, that if his words abide in you, that he will deliver you to the other side of whatever it is that you're up against. It may look like today that your marriage is over, but on the other side is restoration. It may look like you're losing the emotional battle for your mental health, but on the other side is freedom. It may seem like the grief from the loss that you're facing will someday swallow you whole, but on the other side is great joy. It may seem impossible to face one more day of this madness, but I'm telling you that on the other side are the promises of God, the peace that will see you through, and the peace that's on the other side of it all. You know, the angels proclaim peace on earth when Christ was born, and the Father's rescue mission was set in motion. You know, in order to reach the other side of whatever it is that you're dealing with today, you need two kinds of peace in your life. And God addresses them both, and he tells us what we can do to find them. The first one is finding a peace with yourself. You see, inner peace begins with a relationship with God. So first, peace with him, and then peace with yourself. Not in a backpack trip around the world to try to find yourself on the top of a mountain somewhere. It has to start with the one who created you. And it continues. It continues as we focus on the one whose strength is perfected within him, within us. You need to let him increase and you and your weakness decrease. You see, the mechanics of this kind of peace allow us to exchange our weakness for his strength in literally every area of our life. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, those whose minds are focused on him because of the trust, because they trust in you." You see, inner peace hinges on our trust in God. We need to learn to let go of all of the things that we try to do to trust in ourselves or to trust in someone else. Listen, if inner peace is eluding you these days and you're finding that your anxiety is kind of spilling over, then it's time to pause and to begin to deliberately choose to trust God again. The second peace that we need in our lives is peace with others. Peace with others begins as we understand that God has called us to be peacemakers. Matthew 5, verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." That's you and me, the children of God, the peacemakers. Think about it this way, especially as we walk into Christmas. Ask yourself these questions. Is there something in your own world where you can be a peacemaker through this holiday season? Is there an invitation that needs to be extended to smooth over a fractured family relationship? God may be calling you to step out in that area. What about your personal response to this citywide and nationwide health crisis that we're in, with something as simple as a mask? You know what? Do I know conclusively that wearing a mask is 100% effective? I don't. I don't think anybody really does. But you know what? I'll wear one any day of the week if I can put someone else at ease, if I can be a peacemaker. Or what about this? Is there an apology that needs to be made, or a silence that needs to be broken, that has stood as a barrier for far too long? Don't miss the blessing of God's promises on the other side as you respond to his call in your life to be a peacemaker. We can give the gift of peace to the world that cannot give that gift to us, one heart at a time. John 14, 27 says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. The peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid." You know, as we close our service today, I'd like you to pray a prayer with me that was prayed by St. Francis of Assisi. It sums up the heart of this message. Prayer that I believe was as timely then as it is in the day that we're living right now. He said, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may not seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive. It is in the pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in the dying that we are born to eternal life." Amen. Amen. When peace was delivered, we were delivered. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the peace that we have in you. At this time of year, we celebrate the Prince of Peace. And when that peace was delivered to the world and to our lives, stability came with it. And also came the deliverance of the things that we struggle and contend with. I pray today for every person that hears my voice, that is a part of our service today, that they would experience on the other side of whatever it is they're facing, the promises that you have for their life, the freedom to live as you've called them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. God's best to every one of you. Have an amazing week. Please watch our website this week closely to find out exactly what's happening with our plans over Christmas. But regardless of what happens within the city, we will continue to be committed to gather as a church. I love every one of you. God's best again, and I look forward to seeing you again next Sunday.